lesson comes from the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, first 9 verses. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he had to get into a boat, and he sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. And then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." Gracious Father, we love stories. Help us to hear this one in your name we pray. Amen. Once upon a time. All you have to do is start with that. Once upon a time. Everyone loves a story. We all want to hear what comes next. Once upon a time, and then you have everyone riveted and engaged. Stories capture us. We've loved stories ever since we are children. You want to teach something to a child, you tell it a story. You have them learn stories. We like stories. I do. I love the pirate who tried to capture the moon. It's a great story. I'll have to read it to you sometime. How many children, by the way, do you ever know that say and come to their father and say, "Oh, Daddy, can you give us a lecture? Daddy, can you break down the Dow Jones for us? Can you tell us all about the today's news? Can you read us, please, the phone book?" No, we like stories. We love stories. Tell us a story. Did you know last year in 2009, we spent over $10 billion on stories. We call them movies, going to the theater. One story alone took in $3 billion worldwide. Almost $3 billion worldwide. I bet you don't know what that story is. It's called Avatar. And some of you are going, "What? $3 billion alone." Stories transcend culture. We love to hear stories. Jesus understood that. He told all kinds of stories. It was no different in his day. In fact, for a rabbi, one of the primary ways of teaching was to tell a story. They love to tell stories. And Jesus told lots of stories. Stories that we still know. Once upon a time, there was a man going from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell among some really unpleasant creatures. How many know what that story is? That's the story of the? That's right, Good Samaritan. Very good. Once upon a time, there was a man who owned a lot of money. It's a parable of forgiveness found in Matthew 18. Oh, once upon a time, there was a man with two sons, and the younger one said, "Dad, basically, can you drop dead and give me my inheritance?" That's the story of the prodigal son. Oh, once upon a time, there were 10 bridesmaids. 5 of them were smart, and 5 of them were not so much. Anybody remember that story? Then there was the story of the great banquets. He liked to tell party stories. He told the story when we were separated like sheep from the goats. And they all had a point. He said, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. This is what the kingdom of God is like. And so this summer, we're going to walk through the stories of Jesus. Each week, looking at a different story and telling us, how does it impact our lives? How does it tell us about God? How does it tell us about the kingdom? And how can we listen and how can we follow? And I hope you'll remember the stories. But this morning, we're going to start with a story that he spent the most time on and has the most press in all 3 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. By the way, you know that Matthew, Mark, and Luke are all the same, right? They're pretty much identical. You know that John is really different. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels, which means similar sight, similar vision. And John is just different. I mean, how does he start? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and in the beginning was with God. And at the end, you're going, what? That's why Mark says, this is what it is, giddy up and go, gone. But the parable of the sower takes more press than any of the other ones. Matthew chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house, probably Peter's house, is in Capernaum, and there's a crowd. A large crowd gathered. We have a pretty good crowd here, but can you imagine, I don't know, five times what we have in here? We're talking about hundreds, maybe 1,000. Capernaum's about 2,500 people. About half of them are sitting on Peter's front lawn. He goes down to the lake. And he's so many people at the lake, he gets into the boat. And all the people are on the shore. And he begins to tell them a story. Now, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to start giving bullet points. But Jesus said, no, you got to tell them a story. And he says, and the brilliance of the parables is that he takes everyday items and transforms them. And the NIV doesn't say it, but the first word of the parable is look. He's probably pointing off in the distance and said, look, there's a farmer, and they're all looking, and there's a farmer. And there's a farmer doing what farmers do. He's farming. He's passing out the seeds. And he said, look, here is a farmer. And he was scattering the seed. And I cannot tell you how much room and ink has been covered about the bad farming techniques of this farmer. I grew up in Central, I didn't grow up, I, my first church was in Central Iowa. My wife grew up in Iowa. Let me tell you something. They don't like this guy. They get their John Deere planter, hook it up to their John Deere tractor. They've got laser sights. They've got everything. They drop a seed exactly where it's supposed to be. It is down to precision. And they look at this guy putting his hand in the bag and just giving it a whirl. He's broadcasting the seed, and they don't like that. But they don't get the point. You see, the point is not the farmer. The farmer disappears. The farmer takes off. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell on the hard surfaces that line the roads. Seeds just bounce on the ground and just sit there. The birds come and eat it up. Off it's gone. He said, well, as he's doing it, some fell on the rocky ground. And you really don't know it's rocky ground until you plow it up. Israel, by the way, is blessed with a lot of stones. Israel is just plain rocky ground. It's hard not to find rocky ground. And so when you throw it out there, oh, it gets germinated quickly because the soil's all nice, warm, and receptive. And it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil is shallow. But the sun came up, the plants were scorched. We don't get a lot of what I would call baking sun in Traverse City. Anybody go to Florida in the summer? Not in the winter. If you're out there from, how long does it take to get burned down in Florida? Not long. You can be out there an hour and you're pretty much, I don't know, lobsterized. Takes a little longer up here in Traverse City. Can't be done in the UP. Down in Israel, that sun scorches it. The roots, just there's no root, there's no moisture, they have no way to get the nutrients in the water, and it just gets no protection, and it gets fried. Well, then he takes some other seed, he tosses it out there, and it lands in thorny ground. You don't know until you plow it up, and in those days, you plowed after you had the seed, so the seed could be enfolded into the dirt, and the plants choked out the seeds. It robbed them of the resources, and it killed them. Finally, it lands on good receptive soil where there is a crop, and it is 30, 60, or 100 times. Very good results. Not unheard of results, but really exceptional results, because the average result was, I don't know, 1 to 7 to 10. This is 1 to 30 to 60 to 100. This is exceptional results. And then at the end of this, Jesus said, if you have ears, listen, which is the punchline of the whole parable. If you have ears, listen. And then there's a break. And then either Jesus goes out of the boat or he takes his disciples and they go off a little bit and they have a chance to sort of have a conversation. And the disciples query him and it said, listen, what are you doing? Why do you speak to the people in parables? And if you have your Bibles or if you could put the other text above, you'll notice that it said, why do you speak in parables? And then Jesus replies. And if you don't get the reply in chapters, verse number 10, 11, and 12, and down all the way down probably to about verses 16 to 17, you don't understand what's going on here. And what Jesus is saying is this. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. The knowledge of the secrets is given to you because you already pay attention. You already listen. You've already responded. You heard the call and you answered and you obeyed. They haven't yet. Those secrets are not going to be given to them at this point. We're not going to give them to you. You know, when we hear that, the secrets of the kingdom of God are not going to be given to you, it just seems unfair to our ears. Now, why can't they know? Why can't you just be straight with them? Why can't you just lay it out and let them hear the whole story? And then he says, whoever has will be given more. And he has abundance. And that just sounds wrong to our ears. What do you mean? The one who has will be given more? And he'll have abundance? But the one who doesn't have, even what he has will be taken away from him? That just disturbs us. This is not about justice. This is not about finances. This is not about being fair and distributing the truth with everyone. The whole point of the parable is, are you listening? That's the whole point. Are you listening? He says in verse number 13, the reason I speak to them in parables is that they don't see even with their eyes. They don't hear. You don't understand or listen even with their ears. If you're a parent, have you ever had this experience when you're looking and talking to your child that they have ceased to be in the room? Their body is there, but their mind is gone. Preach it. They kind of look at you like ceramic Dalmatians. And they're thinking to themselves, I don't know. They're in their nothing box. And they're just gone. You know what Jesus is talking about. You know, and it's like you're going on, and you're giving them all this parental wisdom and advice. You're pouring into their lives, and it's like throwing BBs at a brick wall. Nothing sticks. And you're thinking to yourself, what am I doing? And Jesus said, look, he's quoting Isaiah 6. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand or hear. They have ears, they don't use them. They don't pay attention. They are not understanding, and they don't obey. In them is the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 6. You will be hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving, because the hearts of these people have become calloused. You have hard hearts. They have hard hearts. They're not paying attention. They aren't listening. They are not following. They are not obeying. The issue with the Father is obedience. The issue with God is the capacity to be able to listen and then do what you're asked to do. Israel was notorious at not listening. Israel was well known for not obeying. Israel was exceptional at doing whatever they wanted to, however they wanted to, whenever they wanted to, and not listening to what God had to say. They hardly hear with their ears and they've closed their eyes. This isn't God's first choice. That's their decision. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts. You see, God wants us to hear with our ears, see with our eyes, and understand with our hearts. That's what God's whole desire is, that we would listen, see, and understand, and understanding leads to obedience. And obedience leads to life. And I would turn and heal them. The last little section of verse 15, I would turn and heal them. Do you ever wonder what's wrong with our country? Do you ever wonder why we don't get it? Do you ever wonder that it should? Do you ever look around and say, isn't it obvious? If you just opened your eyes and opened your ears, you'd see. Hard-hearted. My prayer is that someday my neighbors and my friends would open their eyes. That someday my neighbors and friends would open their ears and understand with their hearts, and then in turn, God will heal them. Do you know what it takes? You wonder what it's going to take for God to do something in our land? We have to open our eyes and open our ears. You have to open your eyes and open your ears, or nothing can happen. Blessed are your eyes because they see. How does he know that? Well, they're there. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. How does he know that? They followed. For I tell you the truth, many people have desired to see this. Prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but didn't see it. Longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it, because I wasn't there. You took the opportunity and you listened. And this is what the sower of the parable means. Because they're listening, they're going to get more. It doesn't seem fair. But here's the deal. If you pay attention, you get more. If you don't pay attention, you forget what you heard in the first place. Isn't that true? That's what he's talking about. Even those who do not have, that's taken away from them as well. How many of you husbands have ever discovered that your wife was talking to you and you have no idea what she was saying and you know you're in trouble? I get to preach now, honey. Your turn's on the way home. The soil, by the way, you'll notice something in each of the soils. There's a progression of maturation. One, it's just hit the ground. Number two, it's germinated. Number three, it's full grown. Number four, it's producing fruit. Do you notice that? Boom, 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 right there. Some people don't ever pay attention. When somebody hears the message and does not understand it, when somebody hears it and couldn't care less, when somebody hears it and it has no impact in their lives, it just bounces away. It bounces away. The seed is about the kingdom of God. It's not about mutual funds. It's not about the right way to make your lawn look good. It's not what's going on with our country. It's about Jesus and redemption. It's about how do we live as those who belong to God. And they didn't hear. They don't want to hear. They're not interested. Bounces right off of them. The evil one comes, snatches it away. That's the seed on the path. The one who receives the seed and is excited about it is the one who receives the word and hears it with joy. And he accepts it and things begin to happen. But he has no root. There's no depth. It stays right at the surface. Does nothing to drill down. Does nothing to create development. No structure. No support system. Listens, accepts, but doesn't understand. And when things get difficult, when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, that's an important distinction. When somebody is upset because of Jesus Christ, not simply because, you know, you didn't do a good job or they just don't like you, but because of the word, because of who you are, they fall away. They think, not worth it. It's not always pleasant following Jesus. The majority of our culture doesn't approve of Jesus. It's not in favor of what we have to say and what we would choose. The majority of our culture doesn't like it when we stand up and say, you know what, according to the kingdom of God, you're wrong. You are dead wrong. You are dead wrong in how you behave. You're dead wrong in your priorities. You're dead wrong in what you're doing, and you're on the wrong path. And they don't like hearing that. And they fall away because they cannot take it. The price is too high. Have you ever known somebody who accepts the word of God, but the worries of life choke it from not being productive? The deceitfulness of wealth just squeeze it? I think that's the predominant condition of the church. We hear the word of God, we understand it, but man, we're not quite to obedience yet. Do you ever look at your life and think to yourself, how in the world can I ever find time to follow God because there's so much going on in my world? What would Jesus say to how busy we are? What would Jesus say to our preoccupations and that which consumes us? What would Jesus say to us? And would he say, you know, you probably got to get rid of all that stuff. Do you remember the conversation he had with a rich young ruler? Rich young ruler comes up. I bet this guy was attractive. He was dressed to kill. He walks up to Jesus and said, good master, tell me what I must do to receive eternal life. And Jesus said, well, you know what the commandments say. Do not kill, honor your parents. This, that, and the other thing is, I have done that ever since I was in Awana. Ever since I was a kid. And Jesus looked at him and he loved him and he said, okay, look, here's the last thing. You know what? You're too rich. Just get rid of all of it and come and follow me. Ooh, can I get back to you on that? Can I get back to you on that? Remember what Jesus said? Anyone who tries to save his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. Can I walk away from everything? Do you ever get hung up on the deceitfulness? Do you ever get hung up on the preoccupations? Do you ever get all wound up by the worries of this life? Are you ever wondering why you love Jesus with all your heart, but you don't seem to be producing any fruit? This one is really the one that speaks to me. But the one who received the good seed that fell on the good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it and obeys. That's the crop. Obedience. Producing 160 or 30 times. That's the crop. That's what God is looking for. That's all he's ever looked for. Will you just follow me and will you just obey? The words that Jesus used for hearing has 8 levels. Hearing a sound, understanding a language, understanding intent, recognizing, summoning, paying attention, agreeing or believing, and obeying. Guess which one God is shooting for? Obeying. All he wants is obeying. This is not about the seed. This is not about the farmer. This is about the soil. Are we listening? Are our neighbors listening? The seed is being out there. It's broadcast everywhere. And some people are not going to be interested. And some people will be very interested, but they don't have the spiritual depth to withstand the difficulties. Too many understand, want to obey, but are sidetracked all the time by the things of this world. We're surrounded by all these soils. The question is, are you listening? Are you understanding? And are you obeying? Obedience is the crop that God desires. I pray this summer that we would see 160 and 30-fold produced out of West Bay Covenant Church, all because we who have ears, we will hear. All God's people said, amen.